Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live. What's going on today, guys? Oh, NCAA tournament day number one. We're live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We're doing something different today. We're doing Substitute Teacher Day. What does that mean? It means, let's be honest, a lot of people are watching these games. So we're going to go hardcore. We're going to give you stuff. If you're saying Straight Out of Vegas is bigger than these games even, what could Brad Powers say, et cetera, et cetera? We're going to give you some Vegas secrets, take you behind the velvet rope of stuff. Oftentimes, it's too complex. It's too whatever for national radio. But hey, the teacher's not here. It's Substitute Teacher Day. In studio, pro who knows, Brad Powers. Also, college expert in from Houston, specially for the tournament, AJ Hoffman. Fezzik moved his senior day to Thursday. We actually have an event at the Hard Rock tonight. We're doing a live podcast. It starts at 10, so Fezzik needs like two naps to get ready for that one. So we're letting him have the day off. And like I said, we're going to be recapping what happened so far. What does it tell us about the tournament moving forward, but also some of that stuff you just don't typically hear on national radio. By the way, we've got the pros, but you can't have those without the Joes. Joe and his Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start, of course, with the Major League Baseball season preview. I kid, it's the NCAA tournament. And so far, RJ, underdogs have gone 6-0 in the big dance thus far. What does Vegas make of the trend early on in the tourney?
You know, I'm going to go to the experts. Brad, I'm going to have you answer this question first and answer it fully, and then we're going to go to AJ.
Well, I think just generally speaking, what does it mean right now? We've seen, Jonas, a lot of action already come in on the underdogs prior to today's games even tipping off. I went through the all 32 first-round games, and about 75% of the games, the line moved in accordance with the underdog. What does that mean? It meant the underdog was taking more money than the favorite, and the line continued to drop. Now with that affirmation, with the underdogs covering the first six games of the tournament, I would be really stunned to see that we don't continue to see underdogs continue to take some action. So right now, as we're doing this, 3:05 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, taping this, if you're looking to bet the dogs tonight or early tomorrow, if this continues, I would say bet the dogs right now or as early as you can, because I think more people are going to be doing the same exact thing, and you're not going to be getting the best of the numbers so far.
Yeah, most of the games I'm looking at now, even just for the second half of today, I'd say probably 5 out of the 8. I lean to the underdog if I'm not on the underdog. And I think tomorrow is going to be, this first round is going to be a dog kind of a round.
AJ, hold on. What does that mean? Why is it a dog kind of a round?
I would guess that, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, the numbers are being pushed down, and I guess steam chase. I'm not sure why it's doing.
But I'm not asking you why
the number, yeah, or why are dogs playing.
These are two separate questions. One of the things we talked about yesterday was, and one of the funny lines we use that we sometimes use in football is, who is this line for anyway? When you have a school playing a, you know, a lot of people call it a different name. I say Wofford. When Wofford, when they're laying points to Seton Hall, all right, we can debate why that is. That's conversation number one. Conversation number two is when underdogs are winning games and covering games. You know, obviously covering is the first level and winning is the second level if you're the dog, but they're winning and covering in many spots. Why?
Well, so far only one has won outright, and we talk max motivation. Everybody's got max motivation right now, but in a tournament setting, you have to understand that the favorites have a different goal than the underdogs. The favorites, they want to make sure they win.
But hold on, we're not talking. Let's tick off, Brad. Let's tick off the how big of a favorite or how big of an underdog these covers have been.
Yeah. So first one of the day, Minnesota was a 5-point dog.
All right. So there's no
win outright.
Yeah. It doesn't matter though. 5-point dog. There's no situation that they're up four with 3 minutes left, saying, "Let's take it easy. We want to rest because we've got a game coming up." So irrelevant. Go ahead.
LSU 7-point favorite.
Irrelevant.
Wrong.
How so?
They did pull off at the end of that game, and it almost cost them.
How did they pull off?
They slowed down the tempo of the game. They let Yale have open shots late in that game that they weren't allowing early in the game.
I mean, how do we know that they let them have open shot? I mean, did they take their starters out?
They didn't take starters out. No.
I mean, teams ebb and flow. I mean, like sometimes my car. I mean, luckily I'm at the point now my car starts every day. But back in the day, hey, if my car started, oh look, I'm eating pizza while I turn the ignition, it started. There must be a correlation. There's not always a correlation between the fact that, hey, Yale came back, Yale covered. But when there's a 7-point line, it's not about the favorite looking ahead saying, we've got this one in the bank. It might be with 2 minutes left and maybe 11 becomes six, and then you can make that case. But that's the case pretty much all year, that when a team's up 11, and there's only 60 seconds left. They're not. Sometimes they're worried about the points, the favorite, and sometimes they're not.
Well, how many points did that game swing in the last 2-3 minutes? The Yale LSU game.
Well, I mean, with a minute left, Yale was trailing by about 6 or 8 points, and they ended up losing by 5 points.
Okay.
So not that much.
Not as much. Okay.
All right. So let's keep going.
Yeah. I mean, you only got one big favorite so far that didn't cover. I mean, you got New Mexico State 6-point underdog.
So that's what I'm saying is this something that is glow? And let's define what it is. Underdogs are covering so far. So far, underdogs are
6-0 against the spread.
That's perfect, right?
Hold
on a second. Yeah. That's 100%.
It is.
All right. So AJ's saying maybe, I'm not sure what AJ's saying, right? Is it global that just, hey, dogs are better? Well, I agree with that, but it's like they're better like 15.5%,
right?
Like long term. Is it in the NCAA tournament dogs are better? Well, history doesn't necessarily say that. Is it in the first round dogs are better? Is it in the first, group of games on Thursday, are the dogs better? Or is there something about 2019 that's making these underdogs cover? Is there a macro wave, trend, something in college basketball that we can define? Because here's the going straight out of Vegas. We want to look to the past to make money in the future.
I don't think it's any of those. I just think it's a too small of a sample size to make an adjustment. And let me also
say, Brad, I'm not saying make an adjustment.
Yeah.
But what was our conversation yesterday is how in the heck could so-and-so only be favored by 3 against so-and-so?
Yeah.
Right? We had like 7 games we ran down. It seems coincidental. I mean, it seems like it's too much coincidence to say we're saying, man, all of these numbers seem short. The favorite should be a bigger favorite. And then, oh, by the way, all these underdogs, it seem to be bad bets because they're quote-unquote short. There's not enough points being laid. Are still covering? And we're just going to say, oh, it's kind of fluky? This is about parity to me. This is about that whatever we have. How old are you, AJ?
38.
All right, Brad, you're?
35.
I'm in my mid-40s. We've got decades and decades of experience watching college basketball. And in our brains, grooved in there, is the idea that Syracuse is here and Murray State is somewhere well below.
Where's Wofford?
You know, Wolford is in my mind, just in my mind. But the fact of the matter is that I think there's just been a fundamental change. I mean, you know how there's a line with movies. It's either a cell phones exist or they don't exist. And if you watch movies pre-cell phones, a lot of them are based on the premise you can't get a hold of the person. Now, like, think about it, there's whole movies about it. Where's this person at? I can't find them. Well, that's a paradigm shift. Is if you're a 15-year-old kid today and you watch that movie, it's like, well, call a cell phone, right? It's almost like us watching a horse and buggy. When we were growing up, oh, look, there's a movie where there's horse and buggies and there's no cars. These are fundamental shifts. Are we at a point that there's just such a fundamental shift that our brains are remembering Georgetown against, and that the upset would be Villanova beating Georgetown or NC State beating Houston? And instead, it's a place like Gonzaga. And let's just use them as another example. In the last 10 years, Brad Powers, where's Gonzaga ranked? I'm asking a
top
specific,
five.
So one of the five best teams in the last decade, according to Brad Powers, is this year's Gonzaga team.
It's close. Oh, I thought you meant
as a program. I thought you meant as a program.
No, I'm talking about this year's team.
Top 10.
All right. So I'm going to not use the same energy, but just imagine I just said it. But it's the top 10 of the last decade. It wasn't that long ago that we were flabbergasted that a Gonzaga could be competitive. How could that school be competitive against North Carolina, against Kentucky? Now, considering the one and dones, you would think that the distance between the haves and the have-nots would grow. Zion's not going to Wofford, no matter how you pronounce it. But somehow, some way, that's not happening. Why?
I think, you know, could you have watched a Gonzaga game, a regular season game, Gonzaga, 15 years ago on TV?
No.
Now I would say Gonzaga's on TV. At least 15 or 20 of their games are on the, you know, on ESPN family of networks, whether it's the Fox family of networks. You can go to any of these schools and still get your airtime. And plus with social media, you can be found today no matter where you go across the country.
I think that's part of it. By the way, we're talking about who's this line for anyway? And this was from yesterday. Marquette 3 against Murray State. And I asked, what state is Murray State in? I bet more than half of you don't know that. Maryland 3 against Belmont. Belmont, the horse track, has a college apparently. Wofford, Wofford, whatever you want to call it, favored against Seton Hall. And then as we said, LSU, Shaquille O'Neal versus Yale, the Supreme Court. Think about that. Only like 7 points was the line. I mean, this is parody. And I believe this. I believe Brad is right. The part of this is that you can be on TV wherever you are. And we've seen this in the NBA where New York and LA doesn't have quite the contrasted appeal that they used to. But I think there's even a bigger reason for all this parody. I'll share it with you when we come back.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a look at what has happened in the tournament thus far and how you can take advantage of it moving forward.
Yeah, all these underdogs. By the way, each weekday, and it doesn't matter even if the tournament's going on, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 61 degrees. The neon is oscillating. By the way, I think it's hotter than 61. So if somehow there could be like a scientific atomic thermometer, I would bet right now $2,000 it's hotter than 61. But I'm just going to go by what the computer says because that's how I've been taught.
So, RJ, we spend a lot of the last segment talking about parity in college basketball. What else jumps out to you when the parity discussion takes place here on Straight Out of Vegas in college hoops?
Yeah, I mean, when you have a Murray State only +3 against Marquette, when you have teams like Wofford favored over Seton Hall, you got to ask yourself what's going on. Brad brings up a good point, a point that you hear a lot about football also, which is the idea that, hey, everyone's on TV today. So what's the big advantage of going to Kansas as opposed to a lesser known school or North Carolina or Duke, et cetera? But I also think the following. There are more good players. If you look at the quality, and I'm not talking NBA, and I'm not talking about the European influx. I'm talking about the fact that literally, and some of you are going to laugh, and some of you are going to look and say, I hope he's not talking about me. But it's like any kid between the ages of 7 and 14 that can walk down steps without tripping and knocking out their front teeth seem to be on some kind of travel sports team. It's travel, you know, travel soccer, travel whatever. And basketball with the AAU culture and its evolution, it's an all-year sport. And back where I grew up, Brad, you grew up, how many people graduated in your class?
131.
That seems crazy. So they must have been bussing in from like 50 miles. What was the furthest kid? How far did he live away from the school?
15 miles.
Oh, so it was a lot of bussing to get 130 kids together. And I'm guessing the best football player on your on your senior year played basketball.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And he played baseball.
Yep. All three sports.
To me, the specialization, the AAU culture, et cetera, creates an environment where there's just so many more good players to spread around.
I think you're right. And something we kind of hinted at yesterday was not only can you get on TV now if you're on one of these in one of these smaller schools, but we've seen guys start to make money. The NBA is starting to pick guys from these smaller schools and they're having success. You could argue five of the top 15 players in the NBA today played mid-major ball. Kawhi Leonard played mid-major ball. Paul George played mid-major ball. Damian Lillard, Steph Curry played mid-major ball. CJ McCollum. It's a good, solid list of guys. So now it's no longer you've got to play at Kentucky or Duke to be a first-round draft pick. You can make money coming out of one of these small schools.
Good point. That's AJ Hoffman. I'm RJ Bell. We're straight out of Vegas.
And we'll talk about the underdogs and how to bet moving forward in the tournament. Before we do that, I want to let you know Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. So underdogs in the tournament are now 6-1 as Kansas just wiped out Northeastern 87-53. But nonetheless, 6-1 here in the tournament early on. So, RJ, how does this affect how you bet later on tonight?
Well, it changes the whole. We can't talk about this anymore. Cancel the show. Put a repeat on. No way. All right. Fair enough. By the way, AJ, what was
I forgot.
What was your number one upset of the tournament?
It was Northeastern.
What happened, buddy?
I don't know. I was sitting here, so I didn't see the game. But just following the box score, it didn't go as planned.
You know, there you go. That's an understatement. That's a Fezzik level response right there, baby. But here's the question. It's still 6-1. Underdogs covering. Now, let's accept the following. If everyone who's betting says, well, wait a minute, these dogs are covering like crazy, except for AJ's crazy Northeastern pick. If they say that, then what happens? The market price starts adjusting. And if so, all bets are off. It might be, hey, I'm playing a bunch of favorites now because lines move 2 or 3 points because everyone's all excited about the underdogs. But given the givens today, the lines haven't really seemed to move yet. Brad, are you more inclined to bet dogs because of the dogs starting 6-1 against the spread?
I am not right now. And for the biggest reason, RJ, is we've already seen a significant amount of action on the dogs already. In my opinion, you're already, in most cases, not all, but most, you're taking the worst of the number as it is if you're looking to bet the dog. I went through the first...
The worst of the number based upon the opener.
Yes. And I went through the first 32 games of the tournament so far, and it's moved towards the underdog. The line has gotten shorter in these games from the open in 24 of the 32 games.
Now, think about that. Now, that is a stat. That's someone that did a little bit of work last night. All right? Now let's repeat it. 32 first-round games. Forget the pigtail matches. All right? 32. Now, lines move. Now, so the line moved in every game?
No, two of them stayed the same. So it's actually, you know, 24 moved in favor of the dog, 6 in the favorite, 2 have been stagnant.
Think about that. So 32 games, 30 had movement. In those 30, 24 moved where the favorite was laying less points, where the underdog was getting less points, where the line went down. And only 6 times did the line go up.
Yep.
Professional bettors typically bet 70%+ underdogs. We say it, but we're going to say it again. This is a multiple year commitment between me, Straight Out of Vegas, and Fox. We're here for the long haul, baby. Come along with us. Learn with us. Put it in your pocket. You want to be betting on Sunday night. You want to find those couple dogs you like, grab them at +8.5 and smirk when it's +5.5 come tip off. So you're saying, hey, Brad, lines moved to the disfavor where the lines have gotten worse for the underdogs. Just because they start out hot, you're not going to play those late bad numbers.
Exactly, RJ.
Now, AJ Hoffman, not a professional bettor, a professional broadcaster, but about as sharp as they come in college basketball. That's why he's here. How are you reacting?
I don't think I'm going to overreact. I did let it push me.
Wouldn't it be funny if AJ goes, you know, my plan is to overreact.
Yes, exactly. But I did. I had a lean on a game tonight that I was like, it's a game that I like a little bit, but not enough to play it. And I'm like, you know what? It's that kind of a day. So Purdue was a game that I went out and I actually dropped a little coin on at 13 because, I mean, it's hard to picture one of these big favorites now going out and blowing teams out of the water.
Well, except for North.
Well, they weren't even a big favorite. They were 7-point favorite. So, I just think that maybe now, I'm with Brad, there shouldn't be an overreaction because it is a really small sample size, although it looks like Murray's going to make it 7-1 overall. But I do think that if there's some games that I was maybe on, I start to lean that way a little bit.
And again, as the numbers keep adding up, I mean, let's just say we're sitting here tomorrow and it's like, you know, 90% underdogs covered. You know, as the data, think of it like cards. You get your two whole cards and hold them. That's the level one information. Then there's the flop. That's level two. Then there's fourth street. Then there's fifth street. Each time a card flips, your information changes. The trick is, and this is why this is art, not science, you don't want to overreact. You don't want to underreact.
And I'm going to show anybody out there that thinks for 1 second that maybe I'm second guessing myself that I am the greatest of all time forever and ever.
See, Ric Flair doesn't second guess himself. Professional batters shouldn't second guess themselves. By the way, when we come back in just a minute, we've got a battle. We've got a crossfire. These guys, there's contention. Brad likes to be known as the guy with all the college knowledge. He doesn't even know I know this, but I've seen some design drawings of that tattoo he might get. Now, on the other hand, you got AJ Hoffman, who his depth of knowledge, some on Twitter said, deeper than Brad. Well, we found a game they disagree on. They're going at it. Next.
But first, for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
The Racers racing away from Marquette at a 12-5 matchup. 12 seed Murray State, 62, 5th seed Marquette, 42 with 11 minutes to go in the game. If Murray State holds on with this 20-point edge, they will take on Florida State on Saturday after the Seminoles drop Vermont in a 4-13 matchup, 76-69. It wasn't easy, but Tom Izzo and Michigan State got a win against Bradley. Second-seed Spartans win 76-65, setting up a date with conference foe Minnesota, who won their 7-10 matchup against Louisville in the East Region in Des Moines, 86-76. In Salt Lake City,
Harris calls the break, 1.1, finds Queen, quarter three for the win, air ball, and Auburn wins it.
surviving 78-77 over 12 seed New Mexico State on Westwood One. Auburn's going to get Kansas next. Jayhawks just ripped Northeastern 87-53. LSU picked up a win against Yale in a 3-14 matchup. They will face next.
Rebound by McLean. Outlet goes to Windler. Let's apply for midcourt. No good. And Maryland will survive and wins it 79-77.
Terps top Belmont on Westwood One by that 2-point edge. Couple of other quick notes, guys. Cardinals gave first baseman Paul Goldschmidt a 5-year extension, according to the MLB on Fox's Ken Rosenthal. Mariners beat the A's 5-4 in 12 innings in Tokyo. Mariners outfielder Ichiro Suzuki announced his retirement after the game. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in just a moment, we have got a crossfire debate on an 8-9 matchup in the NCAA tournament. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
And we are live, L-I-V-E, in Vegas. And we've got some openers already for Saturday. Talking about moving fast, let's go and listen. Brad, aspiring newsman. If he doesn't work out as a handicapper. Let's hear the openers, baby.
Yeah, a couple matchups set. Michigan State, a 10.5-point favorite over Minnesota. Another matchup set. LSU, just a 1.5-point favorite over Maryland.
Ooh, anything jump out? Any rubber band bets right off the bat?
I'm a little surprised that LSU's only laying 1.5. Even though I don't like this LSU team, that seems a little short for me. I thought the number would be closer to 3, RJ.
What do you think, AJ?
I'm with him. I'm a little gun-shy on betting LSU against the spread right now, but Maryland is not a very good team. I think they were lucky to get out of there today with a win.
Guys, tomorrow in the Midwest region in Columbus, Ohio, we've got an 8-9 matchup. It's Utah State, the 8 seed against the number 9 seed Washington Huskies. And right now on pregame.com, Utah State is a 3-point favorite.
Now listen, here's the thing. I love professional expert-on-expert aggression because I grew up in the 80s watching. Now, again, it's kind of pathetic. Or demented might be the better word, that I was watching these shows when I was 14 or 15 years old. Maybe that explains a few things. But you used to watch like Beat the Pros on USA Network or the old school shows. And someone would say, blah, 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 blah. And at the end, the other person who's probably coked out, I mean, their eyes are a little glassy, they look up and go, that's the smartest thing I ever heard, Fred. And then they say something, blah, 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 and they're like, wow, that's almost as smart. I want to hear the truth. I know when people disagree. Now, I try to convince my wife of this. Like, she cooks probably 17 out of 20 good meals. That means 3 out of 20 aren't that good. When she asks me, how's the meal? I say, sweetie, I don't particularly like this one. She doesn't respond too well to that. But I tell her that makes the other 17 times that I tell you I like it legit.
85% is not bad.
So the fact of the matter is, the fact when you hear this music, that means the battle is going to happen. In this corner, home field advantage, pregame.com senior analyst, all the college knowledge, Brad Powers. In the other corner, former professional MMA fighter, college expert, AJ Hoffman. Your row team, you want to go first?
My court. I get to go first. My
first
ball.
Or last, it's up to you.
I'll lead off.
Go.
I'll lead off, yeah. Utah State 7-2 in their last 9. Washington comes in this 1-7 in their last 8, against the spread anyway. So there is some value to the number probably with Washington. But I've been off on this Washington
team all
year.
Well, let's explain that. So when is there value? Because to me, one of our basic premises is we don't give data, we give rationale. So what you just gave us the data. What's the rationale?
Obviously, when a team is very successful or on a good run against the spread, they become pricier to get. And when a team is not doing well against the spread, you may get a little extra value with them.
So your first instinct is if one team's 6-1 ATS, the other team's 1-6, you want to bet the 1-6 team.
Typically. Okay. Not in this case, though.
Well, So in a way, what you're doing is you're trying, this is like kind of debate 101, you're trying to take his strong argument and deflate it before you even has a chance to talk.
It's like in 8 Mile when Rabbit talks about being white and he lives in a trailer and then he drops him and then the dude at the end just has nothing and he walks off the stage. He gets laughed off the stage.
Well, let's see if that happens.
Let's see. This bet originated because, I guess maybe a month ago, I was talking about how I hate this Washington team. I don't believe in them. I said, I don't think they'll win a tournament team. At the time, it looked like they were going to be a 5 seed. And Brad said he'd give me plus 250 that Washington wins a tournament game. I ended up taking it. Washington's fallen apart since then. And now they get this Utah State team. It's just a bad matchup for them. They've got a big man in the middle to keep Washington.
I got to be honest with you. So far, all I'm hearing is Washington has a downtrend line, which means most sharps want to play Washington. So as you are hitting your last 45 seconds here, AJ, you got to explain to me why I don't want to play the team that no one wants to play. That's the thing, right? The hardest bets to make, the ones you have to hold your nose, are usually the best. You know why? Because Freddie Fanny Pack, who's walking down Fremont Street with a big Twinkie on a stick that's deep fried, and he's eating it every 3 steps or so, he's taking a bite, he's not betting Washington. Right?
He's probably not.
He's with you. Freddie Fanny Pack are together.
Does Freddie Fanny Pack bet Utah State?
It does if it's in the tournament. He does.
Well, then call me Freddie.
All right. Now, sometimes teams can be worse than their bad streaks. Like, sometimes I'll bet against a team on a bad streak if I think they're worse than their bad streak.
But, and that's what I'm saying. I've been out on this Washington team all season long. This is not like suddenly
As Washington's been downgraded, you don't think they've been downgraded enough?
I don't think they've been downgraded enough. I think Washington should have been a bubble team come tournament time given their resume.
All right, and you said one last thing. You thought Utah State matchup-wise had an advantage.
Yeah, Washington would like to score inside. Utah State's not going to allow it. They've got a 7-footer down there it's going to take that away. And if they're going to force Washington to shoot, Washington cannot shoot. It's just a bad stylistic matchup.
4.5 minutes in, you got to the key point.
Well, that's because you kept interrupting me.
Well, I was trying to steer you towards it. I was trying. Brad, I think...
Fez warned me of this.
Right now, by the way, Brad... yeah, right now, Brad is a big favorite.
All right, I'm going to take the Huskies +3. And I'm going to say +3 and emphasize +3. This would be the biggest underdog role for Washington since the middle of December. So we have a Power 5 team, a Pac-12 team in Washington, now catching 3 points, something they haven't in any of those Pac-12 conference games, to a Mountain West team. I think Washington's feeling disrespected. On top of that...
Hold on. Disrespected... This is what I don't understand is which of these tournament teams are coming in lackadaisical. Like, we're all trying to find these motivations. The motivation is, for most of these kids, this is the biggest game they will ever play. A first-round NCAA tournament game for more than half the players on the court today will probably be the biggest game they ever play, or maybe 40% of them.
Yep.
So we got to worry about some kind of vague respect?
No, we don't. But what Utah State does have to worry about is Washington's zone. Very unique. Washington's head coach came over from Syracuse. He was the main assistant coach for Syracuse for the last 2 decades, and the Pac-12 has really struggled with it. And we see Syracuse typically underperform regular season, outperform expectations come tournament time. Why? These teams aren't used to seeing
it. So is Utah State suited to play a zone?
It's questionable. They haven't seen a zone like this.
Are teams that move the ball well and shoot the three well suited to beat a zone?
It's different seeing that length.
I think you're overestimating the difference between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West this year. There's one team difference in amount that they got into the tournament, and if Oregon hadn't won the Pac-12 tournament, they both would have been 2-bid leagues. It's not like the Pac-12 is suddenly this
monster. Think I'm buying low with the Pac-12.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We are debating and coming to the end of the debate of Utah State, Washington. Let me just come at it from RJ's perspective. What about the under? Because I tell you this, I'm hearing you say Utah State has the defensive presence down low to stop what Washington wants to do. And I hear you saying, Brad, hey, Washington probably plays better than we expect because of the quirky Syracuse-esque zone. Why don't we just all come together and agree and bet the under?
What's the current lump number? Because I put under 135 when I made my notes.
Under 135.
What do you think, Brad?
Actually, I've come to that. That's the best play in this game. All right. I agree with you.
I mean, think about that, Jonas.
Peace and love.
I mean, I don't want to say I could do this in the Middle East. I'm not going to make any like crazy claims. But we had viciousness between them. And we took a little bit from one side, a little bit from another. And we have a bonus best bet under Utah State, Washington. When we come back, it probably won't be that good. But we're going to have more best bets.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. And this is the pregame show you always wanted. And it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan, the defending champions, the Villanova Wildcats will be tipping off in about a half hour from now as they open up the tournament, a 6 seed against the number 11 seed St. Mary's there in the South region. Right now on pregame.com, Villanova, a 3.5-point favorite.
Wow, the defending champions favored by 3.5 against the St. Mary's team. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brad. If they hadn't pulled a monster upset against Gonzaga, they don't even make the tournament.
Nope, they're in the NIT, St. Mary's.
So how isn't this take off the rubber band and bet Villanova?
And on top of it, a little hidden home court advantage. I mean, Villanova's playing in Hartford, Connecticut, fully expected to have a significant crowd advantage here over St. Mary's. You know, I it's a bad matchup for Villanova. Both teams very similar stylistically. Both like to slow it way down. So there's going to be very few possessions here. So, I mean, 3.5 is a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, hold on. We're not laying 3.5 because it's going to be low scoring. So really, you can't get, I mean, it's, why don't you just say, I have no answer?
No, I mean, I leaned St. Mary's earlier, but now it's crossed through my number.
Lean St. Mary's? How good? Where's Villanova in your power rankings?
14th.
And where's St. Mary's?
32nd.
So if you do the math, what's the spread on a neutral?
4.
And you're saying who has home court?
Villanova.
How much is it worth?
Probably 1. 5.
I mean, dude, 4 or 5. Why not lay? What's the best number out there if you shop it?
3.5.
Why not lay it?
I should lay it, RJ.
No, I mean, I'm asking you what's stopping you.
Well, I'm maybe a little bit of the underdog theory today. And on top of that, RJ.
You didn't like him yesterday.
I didn't. But, I mean, all the money, all the line moves have been basically correct so far, RJ. So all these.
Oh, that's the same small sample size. Yeah. AJ.
You know, we talked about the conferences and how their conference performs that can make you have an opinion on another team in that conference. The Big East so far in this tournament, St. John's blown out, embarrassed. Seton Hall, an underdog to your boys at Wofford. And then Marquette is getting blown out of the water right now by Murray State. That's the only team that made it from the Big East.
Now that,
a down conference.
That is finally a good point from AJ. Whew, we've been waiting. What a good point.
What did you bring me out here?
Yeah, what a good point that was. Because here's the thing. College football, college basketball, a big chunk of the games that matter are played in conference. And thus, if a conference is much better or worse than we think, teams can be way overrated or underrated because they're playing each other.
Yeah, and on top of that, if you go to lesser tournaments, NIT last night, Georgetown, Big East team, gets beat by Harvard. So it's just not the
now
NCAA.
That's strong. So as we are, what other, real quick.
Providence by Arkansas.
Yeah, Providence, another Big East team.
So right now, down arrow Big East, any other conferences with a clear arrow?
We the ACC started off poorly, but I don't think that's a red flag necessarily.
All right, so Villanova, small favorite only, but conference isn't doing well, so the boys say stay away. So, Jonas, voice of the fans, how do you, as a batter, as a fan, how do you approach a tournament? Is it just wall-to-wall or what?
Yeah, wall-to-wall, because everybody's got their bracket, so you're keeping track of everything. By the way, for those of you wondering, I'll be 8-0 after Murray State takes care of Marquette up there. But never mind all that stuff. In-game betting, I think, is what's really fun about the NCAA tournament. Because if there's an upset brewing and you're watching it during the game, I think in-game betting is perfect for the NCAA tournament because you can adjust to what you didn't think was going to happen, a 12 beating a 5, a 13 over 4, etc. That's where I think it's fun to keep track of. If you like to in-game wager, I don't think there's another tournament that's better for it than the NCAA tournament.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Here's my favorite story about the NCAA tournament. This has probably been 15, 20 years ago. And a good friend of mine, Matt Lowe, he lives in Columbus, Ohio. Good athlete growing up. He actually played basketball at Marietta in Ohio for a while. So he was like a D3 guy. His dad was kind of like my dad, an old school coal miner. And they didn't take a lot of gruff. So they're talking, Matt and his dad, and it's about, I don't know, let's think about this, Eastern time. So it's about 2 o'clock Eastern, the first day of the tournament. And it's like, son, what do you think? And Matt gives his opinions. And the old man Lowe says, you know something? I think Mississippi State's got a heck of a chance. And Matt goes, Dad, they got no chance. He goes, listen, boy, I think you know, you think you know everything, but let me tell you something. Mississippi State down in the blocks, they're going to have a lot of success. I'm not saying they're going to win it. He goes, Dad, they have no chance to win it. Zero. He goes, you know, this is why you and I don't get along so well, son. And Matt goes, Dad, the game's over already. The first game was Mississippi State against their opponent, and they lost. So like they had no chance.
I like it.
But that's what happens between sons and fathers, Brad. Sometimes it's not about the truth in the hearts of the men. It's about the miscommunication. And if only we didn't have to wait until the hospital bed, you know, the classic scene. He's on the hospital bed and tears coming out of his eyes and he's saying, you know, I wish I would have worked more. No, they usually say, I wish I would have played more catch with you. And the son's like on the phone ignoring him. I mean, all that could be avoided if only there was better communication. Jonas, I just wanted to leave you with that.
I appreciate it. It's always a heartwarming tale as we finish up an action-packed show here on Straight Outta Vegas. The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are Straight Outta Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.